Boy, but I said I arrived in America at 11 o'clock and 11:30. In Huntsville, I had a house full of guests. I even couldn't communicate with them, and they're still my friends. And so it was 9 years in France, and when we had friends visit us, they always had a lousy feeling that maybe they might be accused one day of collaboration with the Germans again. So it wasn't a nice way of living with the civilians. They were pretty nice, and I liked them, and all my activity I had here to build up the Alliance Française, I liked them, but they never tried to really appear with us in public. It was behind closed doors.
It was a long time after World War II before German tourists felt like going back into France. I remember this.
Hello, that's Edgar talks about.
Right. In fact, you didn't have very little social.
No, no, we played tennis with the officers and with the other people. But I remember there were some French officers really wanted to establish better social relations after work outside the laboratory. But I remember when the officers' club voted for taking the Germans in the club, somebody stood up and said, never, I will tolerate that any of these lousy Germans will dance with my wife, so forget it, I'm against them, the other way against them. It just couldn't join the officers.
I wonder if it was, but I can understand that in many ways, because I remember the antipathy for a long time. I was there in school.
As we were there about a year, we ate in a restaurant, and a fellow listened to our conversation all of a sudden, said, are you Germans? And I like Germany, and I worked during the war in Berlin with Siemens, and I learned so much, and I like the way they worked and so forth. He was just all excited about the Germans. And then we left the restaurant and went around the corner where there was a French butcher, and he looked like a butcher, you know. And when he heard us talking German, he said, you pigs, tell me, through which hole in our fence did you get in our country? I had the feeling that we got you rotten people out of France, and now you came back in, and I tell you, if I meet one of you at night, I'd just beat you up and beat the hell out of him. So such a huge contrast between the fellow who said it was such a nice time in Berlin and the guy said, if I see one of you at night, I'd beat the hell out of this. Awesome.
Yeah.
It was also for Peter when he went to school, there were many, many embarrassing situations where the teachers just told their pupil how cruel the Germans are and how little civilization they had, and the boy had to sit in and listen to them. They didn't care about that.
Nevertheless, you did what you, as far as the working environment, you were able to work well.
Oh, yeah. No, I would say I realized that the French engineers had a much better scientific background than we had, but they were far from engineering. The design was just lousy. If they had their calculations finished, this was all for them, but to really translate it in the working hardware, this was too much for them. But one true story, my chief was a captain. I was in Africa. We launched the Veronica in Africa, and he always played it cool. In Columbus. Yeah. And I was here 6 months, I remember, in America, and Mr. Poppe called me and said, hey, we need a fellow who speaks French. There's a group of NATO officers. And I approached the group. They just showed the launch preparation for Jupiter. And during the preparation, then, an officer stepped out of the group and everybody looked, and he went straight toward me and then pressed me and kissed me on both sides. It was my former chief, he was Colonel Gushy. And then he said, if you come to Washington, you have to come, and I wouldn't like the idea that you go on TGY and you don't come by. So I went on TGY next time with a fellow Marvin back from here. He picked us up from the airport, and he invited us in a French restaurant, Le Bistro, and I think he paid $48. This was in 1968 or 59. And we just were loaded with food and best wine, and he just, and that's what I appreciate. So really, so he demonstrated his real feeling. But in public with the other French people, they always played it cool. And here he just acted like seeing his brother after 20 years. That's really interesting.
It's an argument. 1st of June, 1971, interview with Dr. Rudolf Hermann.
Okay, good. Now we're recording now. So if you would tell us a little bit about what first brought you into the or in contact with the whole idea of rocketry and how it was tied into your interest and so forth.
When I was about 16 years old, I believe, I started reading a book, Lasswitz, Auf zwei Planeten, On Two Planets, a science fiction book, but written by a gymnasial teacher, a high school teacher in mathematics and physics, so it was very well written. This intrigued me. I was also at that time acquainted with an engineer who was a very ingenious invention type man who did many, many inventions and patents. And he suggested that the use of rockets would be much too cumbersome, but we should better follow, like Lasswitz did it, onto our planet and by anti-gravity, just to invent a force which counteracts gravity. There was one thing which fascinated me all the time, of course, was a gyro and the experiment which you can show, which you can demonstrate with a gyro, that you have only to support it on one end. And it is floating, of course, precessing at the same time. And that gave us an idea, and I say us because this engineer had kinds of ideas about this, but he didn't have any mathematics or physics background, which I had from very good schooling education. And the basic idea was when the ordinary gyro rotating around one axis is obviously partially free of gravity because it is floating. And so to say, so one of the three components of gravity was counteracted by the gyroscope. So, if you take a body and let it rotate around of the gyro, turned around once or around all three axes, and you did the integration and it came out, if indeed you got a cancellation force and one positive force in one direction.
Had you ever, in these early days, had you ever heard about the works of Oberth, for example, in the rocketry end of things?
Yes, I had heard of two axes at the same time. It should counteract the gravity in two directions, in two dimensions, or in all three. If you have a body rotating simultaneously at all three axes, then it should counteract the gravity in all three dimensions. That means it should be gravity-free. I made a theory to this, worked for at least half a year, took down the equations, and the equations of this gyro rotating around three axes simultaneously were not simple, and I could not integrate them analytically. But I invented my own graphical integration, and when you completed one full cycle about Oberth, but not read his book at this time, and it was much later, after I had completed my university study and had my doctoral degree, so that was around 1929, or when I was 25 years old.
That was at Leipzig?
In Leipzig. All happened at Leipzig. I was born.
What were you doing in your advanced degree?
In Leipzig, yeah. I studied physics, and I had a PhD in physics. Yes.
And what was your thesis on?
My thesis was on applied mechanics, as we called it, applied mechanics and thermodynamics department within the Physics Institute. And so I did it finally on fluid mechanics, the drag or resistance of flow of fluids through pipes at very high speeds. Or, as more correctly spoken, at very high Reynolds numbers, because of, and I reached at this time Reynolds numbers of 2 million about, which had nobody reached before to establish the drag or resistance of a pipe. That was my doctoral degree on.
From there, what was the direct lead into your association at Peenemünde, just in brief?
Yes, because you ask also about Obert. I never met Obert at this time. I went once to Berlin from Leipzig to a meeting of the at the University or Technische Hochschule in Berlin, where Professor Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-Z, from Danzig,